my elaborate ploy to get you guys in my room with the champagne.
Nick Brecken comes out of
When
the
your old
closet
band
playing
no
a
longer sings.
saxophone.
I would have probably kissed you if that had happened. If you had engineered Nick Brecken to emerge from the closet with a
It would
saxophone,
have worked. The car would have been
yeah,
complete. Champagne is the go.
I would have been the happiest person.
This is all it takes
Are
to
you
land
say,
you?
are you saying you don't think that would have been
It
remarkable?
would have been really funny.
Are you saying you don't think that would have been truly romantic?
It's February 21st, 2012.
I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Jake Rodkin.
And I'm Sean Vanaman.
And this is the Idle Thumbs Kickstarter Progress Cast, the second one. And
we
did
it.
Did it. You guys did it, in fact.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
We managed to hit our goal in 2 hours and then double it.
Thank
in
you
eight.
Forever for a billion evers.
Yeah. We really cannot believe it.
We,
yeah. we really.
We were just to like paint this picture. 2 days ago, we were talking about we were discussing strategies for how to like launder money into the Kickstarter.
Don't
on
say
day
that.
29. I'm
funnel,
just,
not launder.
Like, we were so
we were
worried
we
about
made
the
a
most...
list essentially of people in our lives, whether it's parents or uncles or friends who we know have nice jobs.
But we could beg
so
forever
to say, look. Please back this thing so we can save face publicly, make our goal, and then like just figure out a way to pay you back down the road. And we had no idea that this was going to happen. It was a crazy day.
Yeah.
One of the craziest days of my entire life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just
no
a
words.
Regular day for me.
Yeah, Jake didn't. Jake
does these pretty frequently. So.
He rolled into Telltale like 10:30, and he had like a coffee and a bagel, and he's like, "What's up?" And I was like, "Oh, we made our Kickstarter goal already."
I was like, oh, three of my other Kickstarters also completed this morning. So that's
nice.
Fine. Yeah. No, I was destroyed.
It's just
I
like
was
checking the WoW auction for Jake. This
yeah.
goes on there. Oh. I just look at that when I'm looking at my fat loot. Oh, my purple. My
fat
loot.
Loot. You can't say that name around me.
What?
I never told that story on the podcast. What? Fat loot.
Fat loot?
I've told you this story.
Really? What is, remind me. I'm
okay, so whenever WoW came around, this is like 5 years ago. I mean, WoW came out a long time ago, like 6 years ago. So my ex-girlfriend, Emily and I are hanging out and she's an awesome girl. And she was like interested in video games because we had just started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just kind of gotten into WoW and, oh no, I had like a level. So I was like at 60 at that stage. So I was doing pretty good. And this is before the expansion.
Yeah.
So that was top of the pops. But we're playing, and she's like, oh, I want to get into, let's play a game. So we start playing WoW together. I mean, she's got a little, like, elf, whatever, he's like 12. And she had between jobs. So she, like, at the time, she had her days free.
Mm-hmm.
So I come home from work, and I come in, and I'm like, how you doing? I'm like, you're level 15, 16. Crazy. Like, whoa, where'd you get all that gear? Where'd you get all that stuff? She's like, oh, fat loot. And I was
what?
Like, excuse me? And like, that's like, I don't know what that is. And she's like, no, I met this guy and he's like been running around with me doing quests and stuff. We're like the same level. And I was like, but my alt's the same level as your elf. Like, we're good. Like, I could run around with you. She's like, no, it's cool. Like, he's really great. He's in Florida, I guess. And like, he's just been giving me stuff.
The guy's name is Fat Loot?
In the game. His name is Fat Loot. So then like, I come home like 2 days later. And then I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, no, Fat Loot and I are in an instance. That's what they're called. I'm like, I know what they're called, you know? So, turns out Fat Loot is like a 14-year-old kid from Orlando who's been like skeezing on my girlfriend while I'm at work for weeks. Finally, I forbade her from playing
you
WoW
forbade
with Fat Loot. She was out somewhere with Fat Loot.
Did you put a fucking chastity belt on her computer? Like, what?
No. We were on a PvP server,
mm-hmm.
So I had a fucking other dude, an orc, and I waited till they were going on a mission together, and I showed up and I killed Fat Loot. I was like, "Baby, where are you? Cool, okay. Maybe you know what? Get away, go to town, go neutral area." Just rolled in and killed him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was yeah. And then we had to talk about Fat Loot after that. Anyway, ex-girlfriend, not the girl I'm currently about to marry. Anyway, Fat Loot. What were we talking about? The podcast is back. Thank you.
This is the kind of quality conversation about video
that
games
you have funded today. Yeah, what a day. This is one of the craziest days of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really nuts. That this is up there with the top 5 days of, like, it was this, like, killing Fat Loot. Like, it's up there.
We're gonna have a lot of postcards to sign.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, we talked today briefly about getting an executive signing robot to sign them all. Then we felt really bad about that. But then we came up with the idea of getting an executive signing robot who would then just sign its own name.
And sign it as himself.
In addition to all of us signing it. So if that happens, you know we've gone power mad. If we buy a robot just to sign the name of the robot onto the cards.
Do you think it shows up with a name pre-programmed in it?
I hope so.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah. It's called the Ghostwriter...
The Ghostwriter Max.
No, was it Max? Yeah, it was Max. What was the slogan for that? It does pretty much everything.
It was the workhorse that never sleeps.
No, that was the regular Ghostwriter.
I know.
Ghostwriter Max was it does pretty much everything. And then regular Ghostwriter was the workhorse that never sleeps. So there's just this horrible executive signing robot chained to a desk, constantly signing documents forever. With its, like, its own tears, basically. Anyway,
I perceived that a different way. I perceived it as, like, the ghostwriting assassin that just will never relent. Like,
unrelenting
force.
It will
pursue you to the ends of the earth.
There's no more documents to sign. Documents. Documents.
I found 5 of them.
Insert document. No, there aren't any left. Insert document.
Signed.
So if you work at if you work at the Ghostwriter Corporation and want to buy one of our keen sponsorship packages, idlethumbs.net/Kickstarter is the place for you. Wait, you've already backed us because you're hearing this.
If someone you know works at the Ghostwriter Corporation,
we're also just willing to stress test one of those things for.
That's true. About, we'll accept that in,
about
lieu,
2 weeks.
In lieu of an actual sponsorship. Yeah.
I'm actually really looking forward to signing. Like a 1,000 plus postcards. It's pretty cool.
It's
going to
be really fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't know about your personalities, but I know like
we need
every...
We take periodic pictures of them as we sign them so that we can do a time lapse of how our signatures change over time.
That's true.
And how the stack grows, yeah.
By the beginning, it'll be my regular one. And by the end, I'll be a president. I'm hoping it'll actually get better. I was hoping
as our name, or are we going to sign them as boosts?
We're signing them as our name.
I'm going to sign an X, like an old-timey hobo, I think. That sounds fine.
Classic hobo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know I'm like, every 40th one, I'll probably just say, fuck it. And then my name will become a different thing or I'll say something. So if you get one of those, it's limited.
Well, you're just going to not put your name?
No, I'll write on it, but I'll there'll be a little something, a little sassy extra. You got to keep it fresh.
It'll be something sassy. All right.
Yeah.
Every 40 postcards includes sass.
Mm-hmm. So have you guys been playing any video games since yesterday?
Yeah, we have been.
Are we talking about realistic summer games on this one day later?
Okay, so contributor Vincent Perea, the artist.
Who you'll hear in the next Progress Blast. Actually, really quick, we should talk about that for half a second. We know that we just put one of these out yesterday, and we put this one out today, and that's mostly because...
We're sitting here drinking champagne.
We went insane
awesome.
Because we hit our goal in a day. The plan for the Progress Cast is closer to...
Like two a week.
Two a week or something like that. So
this week we'll be...
This week
will
be... There will be bonus ones because we'll be putting out... We talked to Vincent Perea and that's coming up.
That'll be really
next,
fun.
But,
and also if we find little bits of... You know, if we find things that we think are entertaining, you'll get those too. Like we're not going to withhold. Dota cast is coming out.
We talked about Dota 2 and we'll... The audio quality is garbage, but we'll probably put that out this weekend just so you guys have a little thing to listen to.
Also, in addition to talking to Vincent, we arbitrarily got into like a half-hour discussion about Zelda continuity, which we may hand you guys as well.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
So realistic game. So Vincent showed up, and he works with their little group at Disney Mobile that did Where's My Water? It's called Creature Feet, and they're run by a guy named Tim Fitzrandolph, and we all worked together back at Disney way back in the day. And this dude is obsessed with sort of physics games around... Well, he likes physics games, period, but...
Weird touch-based ones.
Touch-based, but also there's a sports angle. The first game I ever played at Tim's desk on his, like, crappy old laptop forever ago, it was he had programmed this this gymnast game because he was a gymnast growing up, and it was very similar to realistic games because you would spin this dude, and his body was made of blocks that had sort of like a skeleton, so that his the body would sort of like had flex back and stuff.
Kind of like Quap or something.
Yeah, very similar to Quap, but you had like the bars and all. A really fun game. It was a touch game, but before really you had to play with a click and hold the guy with a mouse because the iOS that
like
language.
Ragdoll Kung Fu.
Yeah, very similar to Ragdoll Kung Fu, but gymnastics. So anyway, he showed up with this game that they have been playing in their crew there.
iPad game.
An iPad game done by the guy who made that bear driving crazy 2000. Fucking thing.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah. Called Realistic Summer Games? Or...
Realistic Summer Sports Simulator.
Yeah, and it is a treasure. It's on the remarkable. App Store.
It's essentially a collection of 15 Olympic games that you play on this 2D physics, with these 2D physics-based, like... I guess they're built out of sprites, but they seem to be actually like vector driven.
Yeah.
It feels like an Atari game with like updated, like with the current.
If an Atari 2600 had physics, but didn't have any other gameplay improvements, it would basically be this game.
It would be this, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like a really, really sort of intense version of WarioWare or something, in the sense that. When you load up WarioWare and you get a game, the first part of the challenge isn't doing it well. It's just figuring out what to do at all. And when you first load up an event in Realistic Summer Sports Simulator, the first part of it is just figuring out what the hell am I doing with this thing? Like you open up the
pick. That's what it says in WarioWare, or roll a thing.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
And this, pick is a nose in that case.
In this game, you'll open up, like, the rowing one, or whatever. And you've got a little guy in a boat, and you're like...
And you move him about 3.5 feet, and he goes flying off your boat.
And he falls in the water, and you're like,
DNQ.
Yeah. About 90% of the results you'll get in this game are do not qualify. And so you just have to find all the weird ways to finesse these things. Like, oh, you kind of drag the boat, but like not too fast.
But then Vincent, who's a pro, is like, well, here's the actual thing that you do. You pick the boat up out of the water and then use it to sort of push the guy along and just keep smacking him around with this flying boat until he flings past the finish line.
When we're done, actually, I think I mastered diving. Like when we were working on putting the Kickstarter up last night at like 2 in the morning, I was in a bad way.
Diving is a spectacular one. You drag the guy off the diving board to sort of pull a spring off of him physics-wise and then swing him around in the air forever because it doesn't actually care.
Yeah.
And then hope that he lands hands first in the water before the energy meter runs out.
And then, if he lands any other direction...
He dies. But if you make it into the water...
Everybody claps.
People clap and then surprise. There are also five nations judges that you didn't quite notice in the background who then give you number scores.
God, the nation names in that game are so good.
Oh, it also randomly rolls nations.
Were you Jermaine Way?
I was Jermaine Way,
That was so good.
I don't remember the other
The movement mechanic is that when you touch your guy and you drag him to wherever he needs to go, it's sort of like...
Well, it
that
just
action,
pulls a slinky
it
off
it. Basically pulls a, exactly, it pulls a slinky off of him, and that's what you use... is sort of like a spring momentum creator.
Yeah, exactly.
And you only get so much energy to do anything. It's a really, really
great
game.
It's one of those games that, like Quap, is mechanically hilarious, which is something that I think is really...
And it's aware of how mechanically hilarious
it is. Which is like, I think a really under... But it's like, I think a very underutilized dynamic in games is deliberate mechanical hilarity.
Yep.
You know, so many games try to be either just outrageous in terms of content, like... We put a crazy thing in this game, like, or just you can blow up 5,000 guys.
Right, but this game's nearly impossible to control.
Right,
but once you figure it out,
but it's in a particular
it's still
hilarious
weird.
Way.
Yeah.
Like, it's different from playing like Battletoads or something. And just
oh
dying,
no, this
dying
is like this
times.
Game is just deliberately is just, like, obtuse and weird. Just,
yeah, exactly. And there's something, but also a little more so than Quap. Quap is so inaccessible. But like Realistic Summer Sports Simulator, you can get what you're supposed to do, and you can kind of do it, but it's always, like, just a couple degrees away from being completely predictable and, like, you know...
Well, failure is really fun and entertaining.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, making your guy...
Because it's so physics-driven, failure can happen in like, exponentially unexpected ways.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not... You don't fail the same way all the time. When you fail, because there's just, like, physics forces multiplying on each other, crazy shit can happen.
Sometimes the javelin... lands just flat on the grass and doesn't stick. But sometimes you're swinging the guy around so fast that when you let go of the javelin, you've swung the guy ahead of the javelin and it stabs him in the foot and you lose. Like
he lands just in front of the javelin that kills him.
And it's like, it's funny because it really, it's interesting to me when I look at games like this and I, you know, I, I enjoy this so much for such goofy reasons, but it really shows how far simulation goes in games. Even when the thing you're simulating...
Even when it's a truly realistic summer sports simulator.
I like that our shorthand for the event was the realistic games.
Yeah.
Here at the realistic games, Jameer Way is off...
The first time I ever saw diving is when Jake threw the guy off the thing, spun him, and he landed head down into the concrete.
Oh, that was Chris who did that.
Oh.
Please, try. I did all right.
Tonight, tragedy at the realistic games.
Yeah, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's an absurd comparison to draw, but when you look at the stuff that makes something like Far Cry 2...
couldn't help yourself.
Nope.
We're 2 for 2.
Nope.
2 for 2.
What do you want me to do? You want me to not bring up Far Cry 2? Is that what you want me to do? I'm just, you know.
Well, it's worked. I mean, here we are. Look, here we are. We made our Kickstarter goal.
In your bedroom, microphone on a pile of books.
Champagne. It's clearly... You mentioned Far Cry 2 as much as you want, Chris.
Thanks. I'm gonna.
Sorry, go ahead.
But it's just interesting, you know? Because when I think about the amount of time we spent talking about games like Uncharted, for example, it's almost none, right? We don't talk about those games very much. The games that Idle Thumbs always ends up clicking with, even if some of us enjoy games like Uncharted, I don't even know, maybe some of us do, but
I enjoy Uncharted.
Yeah, so
well,
right.
I mean, we make really content-driven stuff. We work at a studio.
I know, it's a content studio. But the stuff we end up...
We don't like it.
As a group, conversationally, the stuff that we always end up clicking with is stuff that ends up being this weird, simulational stuff across any end of that spectrum. And I like that has most recently manifested itself in the fucking realistic games.
Well, our interactions, with that stuff, your interactions with another person become more interesting because otherwise it's remember when I ran away from that tank in Uncharted? It's like, yeah, I did that too.
Right.
So that was really good, right? It's like, dude, it was awesome. That was so fun. Yep. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no sort of oh, but when I did it,
right? Yeah,
that's my true. Dude showed up and a grenade went off and
rolled down a hill,
and then my high diving guy bashed his head into the ground. But I pulled him up at the last second, and I got a 5 from my judge.
Belly flopped him into the water.
Wait, why are these separate games?
They don't.
Why
have...
can't you just go into the next
the realistic
map
summer
in Far
games?
Cry,
Cry
just...
2. In Far Cry 3, that might happen.
Who's? Oh my gosh. I have an idea that you need to ask me about when this is over. About
Oh, you ass. You can't do that to these people.
I'm just saying, maybe we make a trailer for the realistic games, put it up somewhere that people can see it, and we use some dubstep.
I don't think we're actually going to do that.
No,
promise.
I don't think we can do that. Yeah.
No. But what's the guy's name who made this game?
I can't remember the guy's name, but it's the same guy who did EnviroBear.
Because Vincent just dropped it, and we all were like, oh, yeah, that guy.
I recognize the name if you said it.
Yeah. He's a graphic designer as well. Anyway, the realistic summer sports simulator is a thing that if you
iOS.
Have an iOS device.
It's like $3. It's nothing.
It's free, and then there's a $2 add-on that gives you an additional 10 games. It comes with 5.
Oh, yeah. Get the 10 games. $2.
Justin Smith.
Yeah.
If you get all 15 games, and then you can actually run through the full Olympic ceremony... With 4 made-up nations that have weird hybrid flags.
We need to record us doing a full Olympic or a full realistic games run through at some point because it's pretty hysterical.
It's pretty good. You guys will enjoy this. Yeah. It's good that we played that since yesterday.
And we did good. You're playing games that the money's changed you.
I played Realistic Summer Sports Simulator.
Click. Anyway,
We're talking about games. This was supposed to be like a 10-minute
thing. This
was
supposed to be the 10-minute thank you guys.
All right, that's enough of that.
Crap. It's insane that in 2 hours we got here, and now we have a whole 29 days to figure out where we're going. But, we promise that,
We need to brainstorm some, additional things we can promise people.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got to figure out what do we do now.
But for now, stew in 29 days of progress casts.
But just have faith that we're going to take this place somewhere. We're going to take this somewhere cool. You know. So thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Bye, I guess. Video games. We were better than the last one.
Yeah, that's true.
Video games.
That didn't end strong.
No. Talk to you again soon in some more progress casts. We like you guys a lot.
Something like 95% of all food poisoning is the greens because you get poop on them.
Interesting.
and they're impossible to clean. I read that up. Well, I read that while I was recovering. And then, or it might have been the fact that I felt like I had an Irish bacon BLT, and I feel like maybe it was gone sour. It tasted funny. But I think that might have just been my brain in retrospect. Anyways, I could make myself puke on command by thinking about Irish bacon for like a week. It was awesome.
That's too bad.
It happened to me one time when I drank an entire bottle of white vinegar.
Why'd you do that?
It was not there.
Cool.
It was gross.
I couldn't smell vinegar for like a full year without just...
Oh, man.
I got seriously nauseous.
In junior high, I was in some stupid gifted kids program thing, but we ended up going...
A stupid, super smart kids thing.
It was a weird thing.
Looking pretty smart today, though.
We went to the local state university, and we went on a tour of all of it, and for some reason, we ended up going through the like weird medical area, which was like human dissection. So things that I saw that day include a dead guy just laid out on his back on a metal slab, a metal platter with a guy's head actually cut in half, laying like slice side up, and just a human brain in under a glass jar with a bunch of pins sticking out of it. But the half a guy's head smelled exactly like pork chops. And then I went home and pork chops were for dinner. I haven't eaten a pork chop since then.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really? Because I can make one of the world's best pork chops.
I would probably eat them at this point, but things that are weird include seeing what looks like an anatomy diagram laid out on a plate and then looking down and just seeing half of an actual human face attached to it.
That would have fucked me up real good.
Forgetting that. Yeah, that stays with you.
I've never seen a dead body like that.
No, nor have I. I've never seen like, it cut open.
Like, it was just right down the middle. Like, yeah. You see the like.
I saw a dead guy brain. Once.
Not good.
I saw a dead guy once before the ambulance and the cop showed up.
Oh, really?
In L.A. I was driving to the doctor. I'm the dentist. And I was going down, I was going down Silver Lake Boulevard. And these people were standing over this body that they had covered with a sheet. And were just like, and just going nuts. And on the phone, and there was like four people. And there was just blood fucking all over the, that's the only
gross thing.
Not like yours, though. Yours is worse. It's not like a contest, but that is much worse.
I don't know if it is.
It's not like a contest, but it was way grosser. I was way more scarred.
Anyway, why did they take you there?
I don't know. Our teacher was like, I don't think we should have gone on that part of the tour.
Pringles. Pringles, motherfuckers. Put them in your mouth. One up, one down. Look like a duck. You know, you make a little beak.
Pringles guy was buried in a Pringles can. He was. The guy who invented the Pringles can was cremated in his ashes and put in a Pringles can.
It's not a bad place for him.
It's true.
You're so serious about it. He was. It's true.
I have a lot of respect for that guy.
I don't joke about the Pringles guy.